Well, he's faithful. Praise God. Jake was telling me that he listened to last Sunday's message multiple times. And I'll tell you what, it was a word in season for us. And I encourage you to go back and listen. Not only did it tell us what we should be doing during this time, not complaining, not grumbling, not moaning and groaning, that's wasted energy. Prayer makes power available. Complaining will shut the power down. Moaning and groaning and whining and all that stuff, it doesn't do anything. It might make your flesh feel good, but it's not going to do anything that's going to make any worthwhile of anything. And so be praying. Things are changing. Glory to God. Things are changing. Hallelujah. And also we saw last week that tests, man, the hotter the test, the more yucky stuff gets burnt out of us. And so it helps us to approach tests. It helps us to be joyful in a test, knowing, hey, we're getting better. Precious things are being put in us. You know, I've said from the beginning, it's not just pastor speak, it's Bible speak. It's not just me trying to be a motivational speaker, but don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Why? Precious things are being put in us. Because we're going places. We're going to things. We're going to take new territories. We're going to take new ground, praise God. And it's not going to come without a battle. It's not going to come without opposition. And so, you know, if a team, a lot of times you'll find that it's very rare, you know, that teams just come up and coming and win a championship. A lot of times they'll get to, you know, the Final Four. They'll get to the semifinals and lose and then come back the next year and win it all. Why? They realize what they needed to improve. They realize in that test and trial what was their weakness. And so now they get those things put in them and precious things put in them and they can get over the hump. Praise God. We're getting over the hump. Hallelujah. We're going to make it. Praise God. Well, go with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. And we're starting a series today. Not sure how long it'll be, but there's a few things that the Holy Ghost has put on my heart that we need to get out and want to say during this time and going forward of how to live your life and what manner and so to do so to be successful and victorious. So it might be 2-3 weeks maybe, but we'll see. We're going to get out what the Holy Ghost wants us to say, but let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful to be gathered around your precious word. Lord, we don't take it for granted. Father, it's our help. It's our compass. It's our roadmap. It's our GPS. We thank you for it. Now, Father, we didn't gather to hear from a man or opinions or theories or philosophies or ideas or thoughts. We came to hear from the throne room of heaven. Father, speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Lord, that I would speak with boldness and with utterance from heaven. Lord, just like the psalmist of old said, I echo the same sentiments. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Say through me what you need to say. Father, do through me what you need done. And Father, we'll give you the praise and glory. We'll always point the spotlight to you. This is not about the name on the building. This is not about the man behind the pulpit. It's about you and your plan. So, Father, we cooperate with it this morning. We thank you for the anointing. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for impartation. We thank you for encouragement. And, Father, we thank you and welcome correction if need be. So, Father, I thank you bullseyes will be hitting everybody's heart this morning. And we'll walk out of here changed. And we'll leave this place blessed. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And when I say leave this place blessed, I mean the place of the gathering around the word, the place of this service. Hallelujah. But Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. He says, in all your ways acknowledge him. What an invitation. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths. Two of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, because your whole life can be built on these verses. And your whole world can change from as you know it to as he wants it. Amen. From the despair and frustration and spinning your wheels and getting a bigger rut, you know, in the rut of life, just spinning your wheels, getting deeper down, and get you up out of it with these verses. And the Bible says in verse 6 that in all your ways acknowledge him. And that's what is he saying? In every area of your life, I want to be a part of it. In every area of your life, I want to make a difference, is what he's saying. He's not saying it so you can bore him. He's not saying it just so you can talk. He's saying, I want to make a difference in every area of your life. Well, what are the areas of your life? Spiritually, financially, physically, relationships, right? Your business life, different things in your mind, your emotions. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he says, I'll direct your paths. And so God's desiring to lead us. And so this series is going to be entitled The Leading of God. The Leading of God. And this is part one in this. And so The Leading of God, part one. But God desires to lead us. He says, talk to me about this. I'll lead you. Praise God. And you're going to see in this series and today, it's our benefit to let him do so. Hallelujah. You know, it says here, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Or direct means to guide or to lead. Well, it's important to understand the him there. In all our ways, acknowledge him. What's he saying? In your financial mess, acknowledge him. In the problems you're having with your children, acknowledge him. In the problems you're having in your body and the symptoms and the things that you're facing, acknowledge him. The problems you're having in your mind and your emotions, acknowledge him. The problems you're having in your business, what's he saying? Acknowledge him. And he says, with that acknowledging, he says, I will direct your paths. But to help you to put your faith in stop acknowledging yourself, and it didn't say to acknowledge the internet, it didn't say to acknowledge the opinions of man, it said to acknowledge him. Let's just real quick, I don't want to take a lot of time on this, but I just want to skim over the surface a little bit about him. And why would we acknowledge him? Well, the Bible says, and I'm going to read just some verses here, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 John 3 and verse 20, the Bible says that God knows all things. Amen. He knows everything. There's nothing that catches him off guard. There's nothing that he doesn't know. There's no math problem that he can't figure out. There's no business problem that you're having that he doesn't know how to turn around. There's no sickness in your body or out of order things working in your body that he doesn't know how to fix. There's no problem that your children are going through that the counselors can't fix, that the textbooks can't fix. God's not stumped. He knows all things. So why would we acknowledge him with all things? Because he knows the answer to all things. In Psalms 147 in verse 5, it says that God has infinite understanding. Mankind does not have infinite understanding. The internet does not have infinite understanding. There are things that mankind can't figure out. There are sicknesses that mankind does not have the answer to. There are financial trials that there's nothing natural. No banker can try to make it work. You're just stuck. But God has infinite understanding. Praise God. I'm getting excited about him already. In Jeremiah verse 1, verse 5, it says that God knows us before we were even in the womb. Now, what does that mean? Now, think about this, and we'll talk a little bit about that today. If he knew us before we were in the womb, and then we were all in the womb at one time, and he knew us before that, what's he saying? I know all about your life before you were even a thing. Before you were even a little baby in that womb, I knew you, praise God. What's he saying? I know the future. Yes. Praise God. Now, I could go over all these verses about God knowing it, but these are just a few. He knows all things, infinite understanding, and he knows the future. Praise God. We know in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, the Bible says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those that ask him, to those that acknowledge him? Not only is he all-knowing, not only does he know the future, not only is he infinite understanding, he actually desires to bless your life. Amen. Amen. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says. I'm going to read it real quick in the King James, and then I'm going to bring it out in the Amplified because it really brings it out and really helps us to see what he's saying. But it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has preordained that we should walk in them. Now listen to what it says in the Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared. Well, what did Proverbs 3 and verse 6 say? Acknowledge me, I'll direct your paths. You know that path you can't, you need to get on a path of prosperity, you need to get on a path of emotional comfort, you need to get a path on helping in the mental realm, in the physical realm, with your business. Well, how about go to the all-knowing one who has your answers, who sees your future and desires to do good for you and has created paths for you ahead of time that we should walk in them, leading, it says, to living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. What I'm trying to say is you're crazy not to acknowledge him.
Yeah.
You're crazy not to put your money in his hands.
Yeah, right.
You're crazy not to put your body and your problems and your children and your business and everything in his hands. Because his hands takes it off of your way, which is you'll have a measure of success, but not like God.
Yeah.
And it puts you onto the path of the one who knows everything, who has infinite understanding, who knows the future, who desires to do good things. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we know this. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and adds no sorrow. What's it saying? When you do it God's way, on God's path and God's plan, it only leads to increase.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, that's great. Well, go to Romans 8:14. Let's find out how God's going to do this. Because he says, I want to direct your paths. I want to guide you. I want to lead you. Praise God. If you think that God is okay and happy and joyful about your mental anguish, your physical anguish, your emotional anguish, your financial troubles, the problems in your relationship, you think God's okay with that struggle, you better go back and get a different revelation of your Heavenly Father. Because once you have a revelation that, my goodness, not only is he all-knowing, not only is he, nothing stump him and that he knows the future, but he cares for me. He loves me and he's wanting to fix this problem. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we have to cooperate with him. We have to find out how's he doing it. Praise God. And now when I say this, I say it almost every time I preach on this, but it's the truth. How do I know? I came from places like this. Courtney came from places like this. Many of you came from places like this. Many of my family and friends are still in places like this. Most people have no idea how to be led by God. They go by chance, they go by circumstance, they go by tears, they go by goosebumps, they go by money, they go by weather. I mean, I could just keep going and that felt good. That must have been God. That's not how God leads, and we'll talk about that more in this series. But most people have no idea. See, we want to be led by the all-knowing. We want to be led by the all-loving. We want to be led by the one that's not stumped in the problems that we're stumped in. But we have to do it his way.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't enjoy wearing a mask. I'm not enjoying it. I don't mind doing it, and I don't like doing it. But to get entrance into Wegmans, I gotta wear a mask, is what they're telling me. Well, if I want to go in to what they have, I gotta go the way they tell me. If I choose to not want to go there, then fine. Don't stay on the outside. But if you want to be led by God, you gotta go in the right way. And Romans 8:14 tells us, for as many as are led, guided, directed. Remember, God said, I'm desiring all your ways. You know, you that are sitting there think, well, there's just no answer for my problem. No natural answer for your problem. God's got an answer. God's got a way to direct that path into something better. For as many as are led, guided, directed by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How's God leading? Through the Spirit of God. Now, why do most people have no idea what it's like or how to be led by God? Because most people have no idea about the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, right.
We talk about the Holy Ghost and they know that there's a Holy Ghost, but they don't give the proper place to the Holy Ghost. They don't have the proper recognition of the Holy Ghost or the proper understanding of the Holy Ghost. And so here God's got a tool, God's got a navigation system called the Holy Ghost that's meant to get you onto His paths, living the good life, and most people have no idea. Because when you are making decisions based on your carnal flesh, you have excluded the very tool that God's using. The Holy Ghost is not in your flesh.
That's right.
When you're making decisions based on the calculator, you have pushed the tool that's the guide, the very thing that's going to get you, you've pushed it off the side. When you're making decisions based on weather and convenience and what you think, you have pushed God aside because God says, I'm not in those things. I lead by the Spirit of God. Go with me to John 16 and verse 13. This is going to help people. I've had the pleasure, not only in my own life seeing this, but I've had the pleasure of pastoring people that when they've gotten the revelation of how God leads and that there's an opportunity in every area of their life to be led by the all-knowing, all-loving, all-future-telling God, I've had the pleasure of watching them get on board with this, make adjustments to their life, and walk into things that they never would have walked into before, doing it their own way, because their own thoughts couldn't get them there. Their own ways couldn't get them there. And so this is going to help so many of us to reaffirm and to remind us or to put into us for the first time how God does things.
Amen.
John 16 and verse 13 says this, how be it when He, the Spirit of truth, has come. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth has come. Now we know by studying this and reading this without going and taking too much time, it's talking about the Holy Ghost. So when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, notice this, He will guide. Everybody say, He will guide.
He will guide.
He didn't say that when the spirit of emotion comes, your emotion will guide. The spirit of finances, the spirit of circumstance, the spirit of convenience, the spirit of weather, the spirit of what you want to do. No. God says the Spirit of truth has come. He, or the Holy Ghost, will guide you, lead you, direct you into all truth, praise God. So how's God doing it? Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led, guided, directed by the Spirit of God. And then it tells us here, the Spirit of truth is the one that's going to guide you. We have to become acquainted with our guide. Having a guide is so valuable. Having a guide, let me just tell you about a guide in hunting. You know, you can go on a do-it-yourself hunt, and you can go on a guided hunt. Now, the guided hunts are way more successful. I mean, it's not even close, percentage-wise, than a DIY or do-it-yourself hunt. Way more successful. Now, why is that? Well, think about me, for example. I live in Western New York. I pastor a church. I don't have time. The elk are over there in Colorado. The elk are over there in Montana, right? And Montana and Colorado, they're big states with mountain ranges and vast wildernesses and things. And Pastor Mike doesn't have time to leave his church, leave his family, and go wander around Colorado and Montana to try to find the elk, learn the property, find out where to stay out of, find out what's safe, where they're at. And so that's the way it is with the majority of human beings. So the majority of human beings that go on do-it-yourself hunts, they go to places. I've heard stories of people going to places, and they've never even seen an elk year after year. Why? Because they're going there, and they don't have time to look. They have to start hunting. But after years and years and years, they'll start to learn a place, go in different places, and it can take several trips to get acquainted with the place. But if you go on a guided hunt, why is that a benefit? Well, the guide lives there.
Yeah.
The guide sees things you don't see.
Yeah, right.
The guide knows where the blessings are. The guide knows what to stay away from. The guide knows where to take you. The guide knows where to get you out of, what to avoid, the property lines, the terrain, knows what to tell you to prepare for. And the Bible says that God has given us a guide to take us through this life. And we already know that God's all-knowing, that He loves us, that He cares about us, that He has good paths for us. So this guide that God gives us is not a bad guide. He's not going to take us to the prickers and the thorn bushes. He's not going to take us to the places where there's no elk. He's not going to take us to the desert of the elk hunting and it's like nothing here. No, He's going to take us, put us right in the middle of the herd.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I know y'all want to go elk hunting. After what I'm saying, this should stir you up and get you ready. Ooh-wee. Yeah. Praise God. But He is our guide, so let's let Him guide us.
Amen.
Now, I think we should become better acquainted with the Holy Ghost today. That was what's on my heart. I want you to become better acquainted with this guy because so many people know so little about Him. He's just kind of God the Father, God the Son, and God the the Holy Spirit's weird. That Holy Ghost business. Well, I'm here to tell you that that Holy Ghost is the only part of the Godhead still on the earth.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Say, what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? God's on the throne, Jesus is at His right hand, and the Holy Ghost is down here. Praise God. So I want to get you better acquainted with your guide. It'll get you excited, get you to realize some things, what's available to you. Praise God. First of all, go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Do you think that God is stumped at why you have to live paycheck to paycheck? Nope, He's not. Do you think that God is stumped about that thing in your body that they can't figure out the answer to? No, He's not. Do you think God is stumped at to how can I change the behavior? How can I change the outcome for my children? Nothing natural seems to be working. Do you think God's up there saying, I'm sorry, to heck with them, it's just the way it is? Nope, He's not stumped.
Right.
It's to your benefit to let this guide lead you.
Amen.
1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. The first thing I want you to see is that the Holy Ghost is not a lesser version of God.
Amen.
The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. Now we have to understand when it's talking about the Word, it's talking about the Son, the Father, the Son. Remember the Bible said in John chapter 1, it said in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus.
Amen.
So the Father, the Son, or the Word, and but look at this, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And look what it says. And the first two are higher than the third. And the one is higher than the second, and the second's higher than the third. No. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. What's that saying? Just like God is God, just like Jesus is God. Remember in Philippians 2, the Bible says that Jesus didn't consider it robbery being considered equal to God. Why? Because He was. And the Holy Ghost is not the lesser version of God. The guide that wants to lead and direct you is God.
Amen.
Remember who I'm talking about now? The all-knowing one. The one with infinite wisdom. The future teller. The lover of you. Praise God. The one that wants to get you on those paths that He prepared. The Holy Ghost is not the discount version of God. Well, we get lesser, the discount version of God. Because, you know, in the Old Testament, remember this, the Old Testament, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. This is talking about the New Testament people being led by the Holy Ghost. In the Old Testament, they were led by the voice of God, the prophets God spoke through. And we think, well, they got to be led by God. We don't get a lesser discount version of God.
That's right.
You know, I made a mistake. Can you believe that? I mean, I know you thought I was perfect, but I'm here to tell you I made a mistake. I bought the Wegmans brand of Eggo waffles. the discounted version of Eggo waffles. Now, if you have half a brain, you love Eggo waffles. If you know what's good for you, Lego my Eggo is, it's your thing. And I love those things, and I saw them there. I think it actually might have been because they were actually sold out, because normally I would not do this. And I thought, how can a waffle be different? Let me tell you something. If they're not Eggo, it is a discounted, lesser version of Lego my Eggo. And I was not Legoing my Eggoing. I was bummed out. They came out of the toaster. I thought, what is this cardboard? This is not Lego my Eggo. Don't do it, people. I'm trying to spare you. And the Holy Ghost is not the Wegmans version of the Eggo waffle. The Holy Ghost is the Eggo.
Yes.
The God. Praise God. He's God. He's not lesser.
Right.
He's not lesser.
Right.
Praise God. So number one, this guide that we have is not a lesser version of God. It is God.
Yes.
Number two, go to John 14 in verse 6. John 14 in verse 6. Praise God.
Praise God.
I mean, if light bulbs will go off today, and you realize what's at your disposal, what's actually God has given you to navigate through this life, it'll change your world from this point on.
That's right. Amen.
It will.
Amen.
You're not messed up in that problem and confused because you've done it God's way.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so good.
God's way doesn't lead to messed up and confused.
Oh, that's right.
God's way doesn't lead to poverty. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. God's way doesn't lead to sickness and disease. I heal all the diseases, God says. We're not in a pickle because God put us in the pickle.
Amen.
We want to get out of these things. Praise God. John 14. Did I say John 14, 6? Hallelujah. I didn't mean that. I meant, let's see here, where did I mean to go here? Bear with me here. John 14 and verse 16. Now look at what it says in John 14 and verse 16. He says, now remember, God says, I'm going to guide you into all truth, but the way I'm going to do it is I'm using a part of me called the Holy Ghost. Not a lesser version of me, praise God. He says, I'll pray the Father and He'll give you another comforter. See, Jesus was a comforter, but Jesus was getting ready to exit stage left. He says, God's not going to leave you comfortless. I'll give you another comforter. You've had me here. I'm a comforter, but I'm going to give you another comforter.
Yes,
that He may abide with you or live with you forever. Here it is. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See, you can't get it until you accept Jesus.
Amen.
When it's talking about the world, it's talking about those that are not in the kingdom of God. How do you get in the kingdom of God? You receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. It says, but if you're a Christian, you can receive this. But notice this, it says, it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So number one, we saw that this guide, this Holy Ghost, is not a lesser version of God. But the second thing I want you to see is that God lives in you.
Amen.
Now, why is it important to know the location of where the guide is? Because when you know the location of where the guide is, what does the guide know? Everything. 1 John 3, he knows all things. What I say in Psalms 147, infinite wisdom. Jeremiah 1:5, he knows the future. Matthew 7:11, he wants to do good things for you, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah, all these things. So why is it important to know where the guide is? So you'll look in the right place. Because so many people are not looking in the right places for their answer. They're looking to people. I don't care how many degrees, how smart so-and-so is, they're not all-knowing, they're not infinite in wisdom, they don't have supernatural power, no article on the internet, no textbook. No opinion, no chat session or blog or anything like that, no Facebook post. knows what your God knows and can do what your God can do. But yet, what do people do? People look to their checkbook for their answers. People look to people for their answers. People look to natural for their answers. People look to their own thoughts for their answer. They're looking in the wrong place. My assumption is they must just not know where the guide is. But now I'm here to tell you, He's in you. If you know the location of your answer, you won't look outward. You'll look inward. Because He dwells with you. Praise God. Yesterday I took Caleb turkey hunting. And he's just so compliant, you know. And he's, when are we leaving, Dad? I said, have your stuff on. Be ready to go by this time. Well, he knows when I say that, especially when it comes to hunting. Oh, he better be ready to go. Because I've got this all timed in my head. That's the way my brain works. Just logical. Timing and all these things. And so he knows that if I say we're leaving it, I think I said we're leaving at 8:40. He knows, be ready with his stuff on to go at 8:40. Or Dad's going to just blow his top. Oh, man, this is hunting, buddy. What are you doing? Let's go get this thing going. And he's running through the house frantically looking for his hunting boots. And he can't find his hunting boots. Well, the first thing you want to do is, well, Mom must have did something with my hunting boots. Abby must have. Nobody did anything with your hunting boots. Yeah. Here's the thing about this. The answer was always there.
Sure.
He just didn't know the location of the answer.
Yeah.
He had accidentally put them on the front porch for some reason and forgot we never put our shoes or boots out on the front porch and finally found them. See, the answer was there the whole time.
Yeah.
He's just in the wrong location.
Yeah, that's good.
Your answer to every problem you're going through right now, every stuck place, every wall that you're up against, there's an answer for it.
Yeah.
You've just been looking in the wrong place.
That's good. Thank you, Christ.
Where is it with the all-knowing one?
Amen.
Holy Ghost knows.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost. You know what's interesting about God is He's a gentleman.
Yeah.
I've been on hunts before, and the guide will say to me right off the bat, I encourage you to listen to me. I know this property. I know this land. He said, but you're the one that paid to be here. I'm here to serve you. I will, if I tell you let's go up on that ridge and you want to go on that ridge, you're the client. I'll take you up on that ridge. We're not going to hear anything over there. And we're not going to see anything over there. And it's not going to be successful, but I'll do it. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost has the answer, but if you want to keep looking out here, He'll let you. The Holy Ghost has the answer in here, but if you want to keep going to that route, into that solution, and keep coming up empty, He'll let you do it. He's not going to force you to be guided by Him.
That's right. Amen. Good
His boots were always there, just in the wrong location.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So many people, God has your answer. There's nothing that stumps Him. He's got every answer. You're just looking in the wrong location.
Yeah.
Yep. And it doesn't matter how intense you look in the wrong location.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how bad Caleb desired to find those boots.
Right.
It didn't matter how much he wanted to find those boots in the basement or at the back porch or wherever in the walkway in the house, or maybe he left them in my truck. No matter how bad he wanted it, how bad he needed it, how bad he desired, didn't find the answer till he looked in the right location. Oh, I need my healing. I need change in my business. This is going on with my kids. This is going on in my finances. This is going on in my life. Doesn't matter how bad you want it, how much you want it, how bad you need it, until you look for the answer in the right location, you'll go without. And so many people for years go around the same mountain of defeat. Why do they just keep looking in the same places, the wrong places? You got to look in the right places. Right here, praise God. Number three. So number one, He's not a lesser version of God. Number two, the Holy Ghost lives in you. Can you imagine what that will change if you realize you have God on the inside?
Yeah, that's true. Amen.
It'll help you with carnal desires and flesh and sin, realizing God's with you. Have you ever sinned before? I have. And then you realize, the thing for me when it comes to sin is that one thing, the major thing that breaks my heart is going against the Father. Any sin.
Yeah.
Jesus died for it all.
Yeah.
It hurts the Father. I hate hurting the Father.
Amen.
I get so grieved. The Bible says godly sorrow leads to repentance. If you're not sorrowful after you sin, you better check up on your heart. Your heart's calloused.
That's right.
I'm not perfect, but when I miss it, oh, I feel it.
Yes.
I feel it. And then I think to myself, and in my repenting, I say, I acted as if you weren't even real. As if you weren't even there the whole time. Like the way you talk, things you do, actions, how you are, motives. As if he can't see your heart. As he can't see your mind and your thoughts. But when you have a revelation that God's always with you, it changes things. Oh, it changes things. I just want to be pleasing to him. Amen. Number three, John chapter 16 and verse 13. Hanging around the same places here. We can trust what the Holy Ghost says because of where he gets his information. Okay? What do you mean by that, Pastor Mike? It says, howbeit, he, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself. He's not just making things up. But whatever he hears, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. What's the Holy Ghost? Who's the Holy Ghost hearing from? Heaven. The Holy Ghost hears from heaven. Praise God. He's not on his own program. He's getting orders from headquarters. We can trust. Listen to what it says in verse in the Amplified. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole truth, the full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority. But he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. We can trust him because of where he's getting his information. So when the Holy Ghost says to do something or make an adjustment or prompts us in a way, we can trust that because it's coming from heaven.
Amen.
Now, real quick, go to Ephesians 1 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Praise the Lord. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, notice this, you were sealed. Everybody say, I was sealed.
I was sealed.
Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible likens the Holy Ghost to a seal. Now, not, whatever, is that even a seal?
Yeah.
Okay. My animal's confused here, you know. He's not talking about that kind of a seal. Back in the old days, there was something called the king's seal. Well, it would come from a little signet or his ring or something, and they didn't have Facebook, Messenger, and texting, and emails, and fax. So when the king had to deliver a message, he'd send a messenger out with something written on a piece of paper, scrolled, rolled up. And when it was delivered, they say, we have a message from the king. Well, anybody can come along and say, I have a message from the king. But what would let the recipients know that it was legit was the king's seal on the letter, whether it was his ring or a signet. And they would know that seal, and he would dip that seal in wax and then put that on, or get the warm wax on there and seal that letter or that whatever that is, that piece of paper, with that seal. And they'd look at that and say, oh, that's the king's seal. We can trust what's being said because it's the king's seal.
Amen.
The king's seal in your life is the Holy Ghost. We can trust what it is because the Holy Ghost is God. It's the king's seal showing us this is from heaven.
Amen.
Look what it says there in verse 13. In whom you also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise God. So when the Holy Ghost speaks, we know that's from heaven. He's the seal. Well, I see that letter. It's got the king's insignia on it. It's got the inscription there that I know is of King so-and-so. We can trust what it says. The Holy Ghost is the seal. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So we're going to the last point here. Number one, remember, the Holy Ghost, God, is not a lesser version of God. He's not the Wegmans version. He's the ego version of God. There's a difference, trust me. Save your money. Just trust me. He lives in you, number two. Why is it important to know? Because if the all-knowing one's down here, why are we looking out here? Why are we looking over here? The answer's in here. And number three, we can trust what he says because of where he gets his information from. Number four, John 16:13, talking to you about the Holy Ghost. And this will help you to see one of the most precious benefits of God giving us the Holy Ghost is you have a future teller at your disposal.
Yes. Praise
God. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, not things that have happened,
right.
Not the past. The Holy Ghost will reveal to you things in your future.
Praise God.
How does that not put us ahead of everybody else in the world?
Amen.
We know we have the one on the inside of us that can show us things to come. What a benefit and blessing to be told something before it happens. Whether to avoid that decision, to make a different decision, to go a different direction, to reveal something to us. We have a future teller on the inside.
Amen.
Now I want to tell you a couple stories. I had an opportunity, this was years and years ago. I hadn't been a Christian for very long. To invest in a gas well project. Now, it wasn't a big investment. I had to get the money from the bank, and back then I didn't have much income and credit built up. So the loan I could get was minimal, but I had planned because there were so many people around me in my circle that were excited about this well project. And they were going to the bank and taking out money to get loan to invest in those wells if they didn't have money on hand, and they're taking money out of their accounts and investing in this well project with the hopes that it's going to produce gas, and the royalties from that well are going to far outweigh what you put into it. And I started to get caught up in the hype because I didn't want to be left out. There were people I trusted, people that were in that industry that said, oh, these are a sure hit. These are going to be a blessing. So I went and took out a loan with the intention of putting that money into that project. And I got a very good interest rate. I've always had good credit and had a very good interest rate. So it was a very low-cost loan for me. And I thought, we'll put it in, and the royalties that come back, we'll get that loan paid off in no time. And I got the money in the bank account and started to get a scratch on the inside. Well, and again, I'll lead you into this as we get into the series of how to be led by the Holy Ghost, how to hear His voice and things like that. But thankfully, I was taught it. Thankfully, I knew the voice of the Holy Ghost back then. And it was so explicit to not put that money in that project. All the pros around me are putting it in. All the people in the industry, they're putting it in. And the Holy Ghost guided and directed me, said I had a real high interest couple credit cards that I had. He said, take that low interest loan, pay off the high interest credit cards. So I did that. Kind of felt bummed on the surface, you know, all these people. Those people never recouped any money. The wells were a dud. I mean, they did all the testing they could, and that well project, I can't remember if it was 6 to 8 well project, absolutely produced nothing. So the loan they took out, they're just paying that loan with no return. They're just paying it out of something else. And God spared me and saved me the money and paid off a debt and helped me in the long run. I would not have known that unless it was the Holy Ghost. Because the outward was saying, you're dumb not to do it. In fact, I wasn't even in a position to really get to take out a loan, but because They were so convincing of it. They said, you have to get in this. Don't be left out. Whatever you got to do. And I just went with that advice at first. But when I took out the money, checked my heart, Holy Ghost said, don't do it.
Praise God.
Future teller.
Yes.
Spared me. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I had someone from the churches reach out to me during this time. And they were about to take their business in a different direction. and invest in a much larger property, much larger building, and increase the staff that they would have. And on the surface, that looked like their door to increase. On the surface, before all this happened, on the surface, it looked like, this is how I'm going to progress. This is how I'm going to grow. This is how financially I'm going to get to a different place. And naturally, yep, just like those wells look like naturally. But the Holy Ghost, thank God, they know the voice of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, don't do it. Now, at the time, they can't figure out why. But once you learn, a mature Christian just obeys. Sometimes God shows you why, sometimes He doesn't, but a mature Christian just knows to listen to the voice of God and not ask questions. Well, on the surface, it's like, wait a second, there's this opportunity. There's chance for advancement and chance for growth. And they told me, they said, had they not listened to that, they said, because their business was a business that would be shut down during this coronavirus, they'd had all the new staff members and all this new building and property payment, and now they're not stuck with it. Why? One reason, the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe that this person's a smart person, so this person that's watching, I'm not calling you dumb, but you even told me you did not make that decision because you are so smart, because you knew what was going to happen. Nope, it was the guidance and leading of the future teller. The Holy Ghost trying to what? Spare you from financial ruin. How many people run through the voice of the Holy Ghost? Run through the leading because feelings and emotions and thoughts and what they want and their plans and their purposes. And the Holy Ghost is saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Or they don't go into doing something because it looks hard. It looks difficult. The Holy Ghost says, that's your answer. I have some good stories in this series that will help you. But praise God, God desires to lead you. The leading of God, what? Will take you out of your mess into blessing. And He does it by the Holy Ghost. We just got acquainted with our guide today. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. It's going to be a good series, praise God. I trust you were blessed and changed today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. Holy Ghost, thank you. Whenever we pray at night with the kids, I always say, Father, thank you for loving us, for caring about us. Thank you for loving us so much you give us your son. And I, in front of the children, I thank him for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for paying that price, going to the cross for us. But then I say, thank you, Holy Ghost, for dwelling in me, for guiding me, for comforting me, for showing me things to come, for helping me, for being my guide. Come on and just thank him for the Holy Ghost. Maybe you need to repent because you haven't been listening to the Holy Ghost. God wants to lead you into good things. We praise you, Father. We bless you. We love you. Now, Father, we're so thankful for the leading of the Spirit, but the Spirit can't even come into our lives. We don't even get access to the guide, the one that's our helper, the one that leads us in all things, until we first have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's an order to this. And Father, I'm so thankful that you've made receiving your Son simple. Lord, I know the world will say you got to be perfect to get accepted by you, or you got to have this amount of church attendance or whatever. Excuse me, but the Bible says that if we would believe on Jesus, John 3:16, nothing about church attendance, nothing about our good deeds outweighing our bad, if we'll believe in Jesus, we'll not perish but have everlasting life. You reiterated that same point in Romans 10:13. You said, if we would call on the name of the Lord, we'd be saved. That's it. So if you're watching right now, I want to give you an opportunity to walk into something so much more, something better. You know, to become a child of God, to have God as your Father, to have the Holy Ghost lead you, it starts at the cross with accepting Jesus. I'm not saying to become a member of this church, family church. I'm not saying you ever even have to go to church to go to heaven, because you don't. Church has its place, and you can't walk into all that God has for you without a pastor in church. But when we're talking about heaven and receiving eternal life, it starts with Jesus. And so if you're watching, you say, you know what? I've never called on the name of the Lord. I've recognized Jesus. I believe in Jesus, but I've never entered into a relationship with Him. I want to give you the opportunity. And if you're watching, you say, I want to know Jesus. I want to become a child of God. John 1:12 says you can't become a child of God until you receive Him. I want to go to heaven someday. Not perish, but have everlasting life. I have to receive Jesus. This is your special day. This is your blessing today. Go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're watching, say, that's me. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's the only way. And that one verse that I didn't mean to go to where I said John 14:6, that verse says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. We have to go through Jesus to get that eternal life. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you are watching and you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And in the context of that prayer, you're going to be confessing that you believe in Him and then asking Him or coming into relationship with Him, because the Bible says He stands at the door of your heart and He knocks, but He's waiting for you to let Him in. There's a relationship He wants. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, not only those people that are going to pray this for the first time, but all of us as a church body in faith with these people, go ahead and say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I believe in you.
I believe you're real.
And I believe you died on the cross
for my sins.
And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me your child. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here, or at me, I should say. You know, if you prayed that for the first time, congratulations. Man, now you got the Holy Ghost comes live on the inside of you, the all-knowing one. You have God as your Father. You have His Word as your help. Praise God. I do encourage you, when all this is said and done, you know, people say, I don't need God to go to church. Oh, you can go to heaven without church. But to learn and receive all that He has for you. The Bible says you need a pastor. Your life's going to struggle. It doesn't have to be here. If you're receiving from this ministry and you're in a location where you can be here, I encourage you to come. You'll find it's much different when you're here than even listening and watching online. God has a plan for you. If it's not around here, get a hold of us. We'll do our best to find you a Bible teaching church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're excited for you. Let us know. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. That information is on the website. But before we stand up, we're going to worship God again. Don't forget Wednesday night, part 3, God of Provision. God's growing us and increasing us. And again, I promise you, I'm in tune with God. If the Holy Ghost says we can open Wednesday, we will. If the Holy Ghost says next Sunday, we will. I promise you. Be praying for clarity. Be praying for wisdom and revelation for your pastor. And we're just believing God for great things. We're going to be obedient to what He says. Amen. So go ahead and stand with me to your feet. And let's praise Him. Father, we bless You. We honor You and magnify Your name. Lord, we love You so much. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. See you Wednesday night for service. You're dismissed. Praise God.